Well, it's really great to see all of you here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. How I pray, Father, that you will glorify your Son, Jesus. I pray that you, dear Holy Spirit, would do your work in the hearts and the lives of each one of us this morning. And I pray that all of us, Father, as I've prayed this many times, I mean it with all my heart, that we will know that we've been in your house, that we will know that because of you and your presence that we are standing on holy ground, that everything in our minds and around us will be blocked out with the exception of hearing what you have to say through your word, through the message, and may it all, Father, truly do the work and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been doing a series of messages entitled Unlimiting God, and I want you to understand the significance of what it means to unlimit God. It means that we're not placing limits on God's involvement in our lives, but that we're taking steps to remove those limitations that we put on God, remove those lines that we draw before God, remove them and let God do his work his way in and through each of our lives. And so the title of the message this morning is Faithful in a Little. Faithful in a Little. And as dads, in particular, as Scripture points out clearly, that we're the head of the family. We're the spiritual leaders of our families. So there's a great responsibility that's placed on each one of us as dads. And that example of not limiting God, but unlimiting God's access into our lives to do whatever he wants to do with us is a great example that we can not only be, but that we can teach our children to apply to their own lives. In those few messages that I preached over the last few weeks, we asked basic questions. Do you desire to participate in the spiritual race you've been called to run? We know that passage of Scripture. Are your eyes fixed on God's clear direction for you to be able to run the race successfully? Have you seen God work amazing things in your life? Are you satisfied with your life? And last week I asked you, do you want to unlimit God in your life and receive more profound truths from God? But hopefully you and I, because it applies to all of us, have been taking time to pray about these things and to consider these questions, and that we've asked God to help us to seek him and his truth, his direction, and his plan for each of our lives. I mean, what dad could give the best example of that? To surrender, to know that whatever plan God has is what he wants to do, and whatever plan he has for each one of us is a testimony of the power of God in our lives. But we also learned some valuable principles over the last few weeks of how we are to unlimit God. We need to have intimacy with God by drawing near to him, repenting of sin and cleansing our hearts. We need to have faith in God. We need to actively pursue our love relationship with Jesus. We need to keep our hearts right by obedience to God so that we will continue to hear from him. We need to grow in spiritual maturity. We need to understand that God will not reveal more truth than we are capable of receiving. We need the Holy Spirit to enable us to grow by sharing with us God's word when we make ourselves prepared to receive it. And there's a lot of things there, but those aren't negative things. Those are great things. They're things that encourage us, because an unlimiting God and its essentiality, if you want to take that as a word, is really growing to know God better. It's really to look at him and go, I'm that much more amazed at God and his love and his presence and his power, and I know him better. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in this message on what that means. I want to start today with a principle as to how to unlimit God in your life. God will match his assignments with your character and your walk with him. What does character mean? It identifies who you are. Spiritual character identifies where we are in our spiritual walk with God. If our spiritual walk with God is open to follow where he leads us to, then we will see the assignments he has for us. But if we're not open to it, if we limit God and we don't gain the assignments that he wants us to have, and don't take that as a work order, take that as an opportunity to be amazed with God and grow closer to him. This ties in with one of our questions from last week. Have you seen God work amazing things in your life? God doesn't grant large assignments to small characters. The depth of your walk with God is foundational to your service for Him. Richard Blackaby wrote that. And so as we grow in Christ and embrace Him more, and we're all open to what He's doing in and through our lives, and we follow that, we see God working in ways that are amazing and assignments that He has for us in our lives to live for Him through that will glorify Him. I want us to look at an example of this with the Apostle Peter. So in Mark 1, 16 through 18, it says, "And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him." So what do we see here? We see Peter and Andrew receiving their first assignment from Jesus. You know what that assignment is? To follow him. To follow him. To be a disciple of Jesus, which meant becoming a fisher of men, we, like the original disciples, need to follow Jesus. The product of us following Jesus will be that we'll become fishers of men. We'll share our heart, our story, our personal relationship with Jesus with others, that they may know him. So the disciples needed to leave their lives behind. He said, drop your nets, follow me. Leave your lives behind, learn from Jesus, grow maturely, or in maturity, and faith, and do each assignment God gave them. That's a simple outline. Put your agenda aside, follow God, listen to assignments, follow him and grow in maturity, and know the power of God working in and through our lives. So let's look again at Peter. This is later on in John 13:36-38. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, Where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." Peter thought that he was ready to follow Jesus. Peter didn't understand why he couldn't follow him. He felt sure that he was ready to go. He had even said he was willing to lay down his life for Jesus. Yet we know that when the rubber met the road, Peter denied Jesus, didn't he? And we knew that by the story about the rooster crowing three times as a testament to what Jesus had said. You see, so many times in our own walk, we're zealous for the things of God, and that's good. But God has to prepare us for them. We may have grand ideas or grand desires, and God may have put that on our heart, but we have to accept the assignments that he's giving us. A simple one like, okay, put everything behind you and you follow me. It doesn't mean you have to quit your jobs. It means that you can put God first. It means that when God says, go this direction, maybe he'll say, quit your job and change jobs. Whatever the case is, as we follow him, we put aside those things as our priority and make Jesus our priority. Throughout the 3 years with Jesus, Peter had taken on the role of an unofficial leader of the 12 disciples. Yet, at that moment, he had no idea he was so unprepared to go on with Jesus. He said, "I'm going to go where you're going." Jesus knew he wasn't ready, right? Even though Jesus broke this bad news to Peter, he offered him hope. Look what it says in John 13:36b. "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards." You are not ready to follow me now, but I know your heart. I know the future, and you will follow me afterwards. It was an assurance. Peter's not getting this connection. He's saying, okay, well, I don't quite understand why I can't go now. But Jesus knew that he would follow him later. In fact, Peter eventually laid down his life for Jesus. Historians say that Peter was crucified upside down because he did not want to associate with Jesus' crucifixion, that he was not worthy to associate that way. So he's crucified upside down. And Peter also developed in his character. He absolutely developed in his character. God worked things in his life. Here we got the time when he denied him three times, but now he's saying, okay, you're going to kill me, crucify me upside down. He wasn't afraid to die. There's a great transition that took place in Peter's life and his maturity. Why? Because as God called him, he followed him. As God gave him the assignments, he accepted the assignments. The assignments are unlimiting God's power in your life. It's not drawing the line. I'm not going to do that assignment. God says, if you want to follow me, if you want to grow in me, if you want to be more mature in me, in fact, if you want to discover the amazing things of my power in your life, if you want to grow closer to me, follow the assignment. And he had learned to do that and became a great, great man of God. Naturally, in our own lives, as human beings, we're to mature in our lives. But likewise, spiritually, God knows how he wants to mature us for his kingdom work. God has a plan for you and for me. He wants to mature us for his kingdom work. The more we mature in Christ, the more amazing Jesus becomes to us. Now, think about what's being said there. The more we mature in Christ, the more amazing Jesus becomes to us. We experience him. Oh, wow, God, and I know you, and I'm closer to you because of it. And so that's a very, very exciting thing. The more confident we are in him to accomplish his work through us, when we follow the assignments, we become more confident that we can follow the next assignment. I've experienced God work through me this way. God's challenging me this way. I know that he'll enable me to do so. Our faith and our courage and God has increased. But the first thing is that God has to develop a character so he can fulfill the potential he sees in us to serve him. God sees a potential in you and in me for his kingdom glory, for his kingdom work that we don't see. But if we yield our life to him by receiving him into our life as our Savior, and we put aside our priorities and we say Jesus first, and we accept what he calls us to do, the little baby steps to the fact that we're running in Christ, becoming babes in Christ to great men and women of God, doing the things that God wants us to do, those are amazing things. And our relationship with God becomes deeper and richer. God begins expanding our capacity by giving each of us a little and expects us to be faithful and obedient. A little at a time, to be faithful and obedient. I'm going to paraphrase a passage of scripture in Matthew 25, 20 through 29. There was a man who was journeying to different countries. This is a parable that Jesus had spoke of, but I'm putting it in my own words. And as he got to this one country, he hired servants. And he had three servants. And he gave each servant talents or abilities or money. And he gave the one a certain amount, another certain amount, and another certain amount. The first one he gave a greater amount. The middle one he gave less amount. And the last one he gave even a less amount. A less amount, will you? And when he returned, he was asking these servants, what you did with what I gave you. The first servant, who was given a lot, told him what he did, and the master said he was so pleased with him, so excited with him, that he blessed him and gave him more talents. Now don't translate that as to more work, more of a burden, because the more that God gives us, remember, the more we're amazed with him, the closer we are to him. And that's something we have to decide if we want that. Now, the second servant came. He had less, and he was just as well faithful with what God had charged him or encouraged him to do. When I say God, I'm talking about the master of the field, because that is the typology here. But the third one had a little bit. Didn't have to do much. Had just a little bit. And he figured, well, the master of the that was gave him the money and assignment to do was shrewd and hard, and he'd be judged. So he was afraid, and so he put the little bit and buried it. But when he was held accountable to it, he said, I was afraid because I knew what type of man you were. Well, we don't know what type of man he was. He didn't. And he wasn't happy with him. God said, or this master said, I'm going to take that away from you, give it to someone else. We lose the things that God gives us to use for him. They become obscure, farther apart, and they become less focused on, and we miss what God wants to do. Because all God wants to do is bless us. All God wants to do is enrich our lives. All God wants to do is to allow us to have the deepest, richest, amazing relationship with him that marks us as men and women of God in a world of darkness. So each time we obey, we mature spiritually, and we will be given more to do. Don't look at the more to do's as work. Look at the more to do's as a greater opportunity to be amazed by God and to grow closer to him. Now I want to look here. We see this principle repeated in other places in the Bible. In Luke 16:10, it says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in much." There were the faithful servants, and there was that one that wasn't. I don't know about you, but I want to be the faithful one. But it takes the courage to follow Jesus. Let's apply this to us today. You receive Christ as your Savior, and Scripture in multiple places tells us that we must be baptized after we put our faith in Christ. It's not about infant baptism, because I run into a lot of people who say, I've been baptized. An infant doesn't know why they're being baptized. Scripture says, if you receive me as your personal Lord and Savior, genuinely confessing and saying, God, forgive me for my sin, come live in my heart, then here, come live in our heart, and we'll know him. He's our Lord and Savior. And we're secured forever. Then we're baptized. And Scripture talks about that is giving us a clear conscience before men. I believe in Christ and I've made it public through baptism. And people grow from that point. But the first one was, hey, here I am knocking on your heart, receive me. That was a step of faith. What was the second step? Okay, now you receive me. Don't be afraid to make it public. Be baptized and declare your new faith in Christ and that you want to follow him. In Acts 2:38, it says, "Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." When we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart. But I tell you what, people who are genuinely sincere when they follow through in baptism are elated when they are done being baptized. They are so excited and so thrilled that there's a blessing of God's Holy Spirit on them. I know that sounds obscure, but it's true. And as we walk with Jesus and follow him, we're notice the power of God and his Spirit upon us, enabling us to do those assignments that he's given us as we rely on him. So, that is the believer's first step of obedience, referring to baptism. And if you've not been baptized, you will not mature. Here's another example. The Bible also teaches us to read and study the Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The world needs to know the truth. The world said there is no truth, but God said he is truth, and we have the truth right here. And as we study the scriptures, we can be that solid rock in Christ in a world of darkness that lays out the truth for people who are looking for truth. But we have to study God's word to do that. Start out by getting a study Bible and read the footnotes. Look at the cross references in your Bible. It's not as hard as we think. And we can start a little bit at a time. If we do not do that next step of obedience, of reading and studying our Bibles, guess what? We will not mature in Christ. We'll always remain babes in Christ. We've received Christ, we were baptized, but that's it. The Bible tells us not to forsake gathering together with other Christians to worship. We're to learn in fellowship. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I will tell you, more families are more blessed when the father comes to church because of the spiritual headship of the father that God says is so in the scripture. He's taken the leadership. And that influence on his children is incredible when he shows that commitment to being at church. He shows that commitment in loving Jesus and in following Jesus and not unlimiting Jesus in his life as he follows him. So if we only come to church when it's convenient or when we don't feel uncomfortable, we will not mature. We will not mature. There'll be times in church we're uncomfortable. That's just God working with us. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. The Bible tells us to be in consistent prayer, Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Supplication is laying down your requests. So if we're not obedient to this command to pray at all times, we will not mature. Have you received Christ? Have you been baptized? Are you reading and studying your Bible? Are you going to church? Are you praying? These are essential for us to follow God and to be in step with him and to recognize and hear his assignments, his leadership, his plan, his purpose in our lives that he's called us to be. He knows the potential, as we know the potential in our own children. But we have to help our children grow to reach that potential just as God is there to help us to reach ours. But we have to be willing to hear and to listen. Like Jesus told the disciples when he called to them to follow him, they were to be fishers of men, and as we previously read in Mark 6:15, they're told to come and be fishers of men. If we are not sharing the gospel with others, we will not mature. Do not be afraid to share the gospel. Do not use excuses, I'm not trained, I don't know what I'm talking about. Whatever experience you and I have with Jesus is the door for us to share the gospel. If we are Christians, we know how we became a Christian. We can share that. And our experiences with God are coming from the heart. And that authenticity of the heart of a believer sharing with others has a lot of power that God works through for his glory. Sharing our faith is one of those basic or little assignments God gives all of us. It's the little assignment. It's the natural one that should overflow from us, that challenges all of us and pushes us and many of us out of our comfort zones. But we need to remember, if God gives us someone to witness to, the Holy Spirit will do the work. I am always afraid to step forward and to witness. Always. And God is always there saying, you can do it. Take the step. This morning I was witnessing to a young man. And it's okay, how far do I go with this, Lord? How far do I go with this? And I said, just help me. Went all the way with it. Shared the gospel, asked if the person wanted to receive Christ, and so forth. We just need to be obedient when God gives us that opportunity. We're to open our mouths and let the Holy Spirit do his work through us. And this will grow our faith and help us to spiritually mature. And as time goes by, God will increase our assignments. We just have to be faithful in a little. The little bit that God gives us. You know, the person that wants to receive Christ or is listening to that, so many I've heard with white knuckles on a pew saying, I can't go forward and receive them. It's terrifying. But then they do, they rejoice because they know them. I've seen people say, I can't get baptized, just can't get in front of people. But when they do, they're blessed. And each assignment increases a little bit at a time. But they grow and they mature and they gain a greater relationship, a deeper relationship with Jesus. So when God tells us something to do and we respond with a no or not yet, guess what happens? We suspend our growth. I've told people that said, I don't want to get baptized. I said, well, you're not going to grow. And I've told them, when you do follow through with baptism with the right heart, it's like God lifting the railroad arm on the track and you begin to grow into a different chapter of your walk with Jesus. But we have to take the steps that God wants us to take. So suppose someone's hurt your feelings or offended you, and you refuse to forgive them. And this breaks a commandment of Christ, doesn't it? In Ephesians 4:31-32, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And here's the clincher, even as God in Christ forgave you. We should always be humbled by the fact that God has forgiven us completely. Past sins, present sins, future sins, and in our daily guilty sins, when we go to him and confess them, he removes the guilty stain from our robes of righteousness. If God can do that for you and for me, then who are we to say we can't forgive? And it's because we're not accepting that assignment to do so. God wants us to do that. Now, all these things I've mentioned, none of us are exempt from. And the challenge, these are challenges that we all have when we walk with Jesus. This is ongoing, the challenge of assignments and to be the people that God wants us to be. But we're to remember, character identifies who we are, therefore it will reveal how mature we are, and in particular, it will reveal our spiritual maturity. In Sunday school, I heard this morning the term character. I'm thinking, oh, thank you, Lord, there's my link to the morning message. Character. Our character is important. God's character is pure. God wants to change us into his character. As we take the assignments little by little, and as those assignments grow and increase, God is changing us, preparing us like he did with Peter. Peter, you're not ready to follow me, but you will. And God's saying, look, you're not ready to do the greater assignments yet, but you will if you are willing to follow me. And Jesus knew, and he knows, who will and who won't. So character identifies who we are, and God knows how mature we are, and will use us according to what our maturity can handle. Do you want to be used more by God? I mean, is that exciting to you? Is it something that we find great joy in? Wow, I can see God working in me and using me, and it's glorifying him, and it blesses other people. How rich is that? How rich is that? But we have to be willing to grow in our maturity, and that means to follow each step. That means that surrender and so forth. It's exciting because God wants to mature us in him. So how God matures us, get this, is unique to each one of us. How God matures us is unique to each one of us. That person I was witnessing to this morning said, your experiences God will use to shape you to be that person that you can minister to other people. You can comfort other people through the pain that you've experienced. And so when we are willing to follow him, the key to our spiritual maturity in Christ is just that, to follow him and to be faithful and obedient and to consistently, through our lives, even in the little things, follow him. And so the extent of our maturity in Christ will be reflected by the assignments he gives us. And I want to say just a little bit more about that. The assignments God gives us, whether big or small, are not necessarily seen by those around us. We can have huge assignments on our heart that God says, you need to take this assignment. Let's say, you need to forgive. No one else knows about that. You need to fill in the blank that nobody else knows, and it's huge to you. It doesn't have to be evaluated by, well, God hasn't used you much in your life. Well, you just don't know how God has used you. Others don't know, rather. And so we, like in our physical lives, we mature, okay? And we grow through what? The challenges. We grow through the difficult and painful circumstances in our lives. But you've heard me say before, the place that I've grown the most and the place I hate being the most is in the valley. When I'm down in the bottom of the valley, it's rough. And each one of us knows that. But there's something quirky about it. I've learned that there's the blessing that helps counterbalance the valley. Lord, I know I'm down here, but what I'm looking at is in the depth of this valley, you're going to show me something rich that you want me to know. As I've read many biographies of great Christian people, it's not till they get to the bottom of the valley where they say, it's not about me, but it's about God. When they say, I don't have the ability, but God does. When they come to a great realization of these types of things, truly surrendering to God, then God begins to work. And God is working through us to prepare us to be that person like Peter, to follow him in those assignments that he has for us, those great and amazing assignments. So we need to let God develop our character. And believe me, as you know, that takes courage. It takes faith to stand in God, doesn't it? It's scary. Hey, if we remove the lines that we've limited God, I've given you this much, God, but that's it. Here's the line. When we begin to allow those lines to be removed and we step a little bit over them, it's terrifying. We know what God has told us. We know how God is leading us. We know that God will give us the grace that we need to be faithful to accomplish that which God has given us, but it's scary sometimes. So be prepared. Spiritual growth often comes when you face criticism, health problems, or financial hardships. And again, that's a quote from Richard Blackaby. Many of us pray for those difficulties to be removed, don't we? I can't handle it, God. Remove it from me. I'm struggling, God. Please, take it away from me. God's saying, no, I'm shaping you, and you need to learn through this. Yet we need to realize that all through those circumstances, God is obviously working a great work in our life. And how we respond to that in faithfulness to God will determine how we embrace what God is doing. That will mature us. God will stretch us. God will grow us through steps of obedience in difficult times. And he will build some qualities in your life that you lack and that I lack through both avenues. If God is building qualities in us that we don't have, he's preparing us for greater things. Greater things reveals the greater and amazing things of God in our life and the deeper and the richer relationship with Christ. Hey, I followed him. I heard him. He prepared me. I experienced this. And God is just awesome because I never, ever thought that that would ever take place in my life. And we can give credit to God because he shaped us for it. He prepared us for it. And that should be part of the excitement of our walk with Jesus. Absence of certain character traits will hold us back from greater service to God. God has to develop your character and my character to be preparing us for what he wants to do. Absence of certain character traits will hold us back from greater service to God. We must seek God and be obedient through difficult times. If my kids and your kids see us as dads or as moms being faithful through the challenging, grueling, difficult times, what does that tell them? Man, they went through the valley. And they did not quiver or shake away or step away from their relationship with Jesus. They just held on. That's powerful. He's shaping us. He's making us a witness and it glorifies God. That's awesome. The question is, are you satisfied with your present state of service to God? Or are you open to growth? Even when it's painful. I have to tell you, as a Christian, and I'm sure you share this as well, that I never will be satisfied with my service to God. In this respect, that I always want to embrace more. Now, we might be able to say, well, I've already done this, this, and this, that's enough, and be satisfied there. But in our spirit with God, that's not satisfaction. Satisfaction is pursuing what God has until he takes us home. Are you open to growth even when it's painful? Sometimes God brings us through those painful times, but the faith, the confidence, the love in him will reveal the amazing hand and work in your life that will glorify God. So, if you're not satisfied, listen to what God is saying to you right now. God might be speaking to you right now. You're not saved, God might be knocking on your heart saying, I want to come in your heart. You need to do it now. That simple. Or maybe God has spoken to you about something else. Instead of putting the brakes on, say, God, I'm yours. I'm ready because of you, not because of me. Do you want greater assignments, more faith, and more Christ-like character? All of us as believers want to reflect the character of Christ more, don't we? We ought to. We want our lives to shine for Jesus, right? Again, this is something we want, but there's a process to get there. We have to be willing to go through that process. So, supposing your answer is yes to that question, do you want greater assignments, more faith, more Christ-like character? If your answer is yes, then be obedient no matter what he calls you to do or what he brings in your life. Unlimit God in your life by being faithful with little. God will never, ever give us more than what we can do through him. Never. We may think it. We may challenge it. But God will never give us anything that we are not equipped in him to do. And God will be glorified for that. So, dads, you're the example to your wives, to your children. Moms, you're the example to your husbands, to your children. And our children will grow up remembering the steadfast, immovable, amazing faith and reliance on God to trust him in whatever God wants to do with your life. Praise God for that. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for the truth of your word, for each one here. But you know what, Lord? The fact that you want us to experience amazing things with you, that you want us to experience the great and wondrous things that you have in store for us, that you want us to experience the potential that you created us for that we could never come to realize outside of you. And I praise you for that. Because the greatest, most fulfilling, the most exciting life that any of us can have is in that intimate, close walk with you, embracing all the steps you have us to follow. So I praise you for that. If there's someone here today that does not know Jesus and they want to ask Jesus in their heart, lead them to come forward and say, Pastor, I want to pray and ask Jesus in my heart. It's one of the easiest things. And we know that it's as simple as you're offering yourself. All we have to do is receive you. If there's somebody here that God is just really talking to their heart, that they've been holding back on what God has told them to do, encourage them to simply say, yes, Lord. And I'm Father, here, and I pray that you will work through me in my life and through my life to help my brothers and sisters in Christ to continue to grow as well as they help me. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.